praise the Lord. Shake hands, whoever's beside you, and say, the Lord bless you. God's good, isn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's read from Acts then. You can be seated. The book of Acts, chapter 2. Let's read verse 33 this morning, just for way of a reading, and the Lord bless each one. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Let's bow our heads again this morning. Praise God, and the Lord bless each one. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your mercy, for your grace, for your love and your truth you've showed toward each and every one of us. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Lord, sanctify us this morning with your precious blood, with the washing of the water of the word. Fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost, we pray. Heavenly Father, we say amen to all the prayers that's already been prayed for that young man. For others, we pray for that woman that Bobby mentioned as well, with the cancer in the throat. Lord, that you'll have mercy upon her. Father, that you'll touch her and minister unto her. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray again for Ken Davison's daughter and the two granddaughters. We pray for continued strength, health, and their touch upon their bodies in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. For others, Andrea, Laurie, others that's not here this morning, that you'll touch them. Minister unto them, we pray. George, Winifred, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it, Father. Just have your way and move amongst us, we pray. And bless your word to their hearts. And I take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Just may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I saw this morning, probably hardly anybody will know the man, Maureen Giler. Dr. Maureen Kenneth Giler went to be with the Lord. He's 92 years of age. I went to hear him preach in Lurgan Free Peace, and then I heard him preach somewhere else as well. Martyrs Memorial, that's right. That's right. So he's Martyrs Memorial in Lurgan Free Peace. One of the best preachers I've ever heard. For some unknown reason, I don't know why, and I'm not going to speculate, but they never had him back. He stopped coming. But there's all sorts of stories told, but there's a lot of things up there this morning. But I'll tell you what, he started as a Baptist, and then he was independent. He preached over 40,000 sermons. He took the gospel to 44 different countries of the world. He had a Bible college, an institute that he trained up young men, and they went out all over the world preaching the gospel. I was told he was dying with cancer and God healed him. And after that, he never was back here. Now, I don't know if that's correct or not, but I know one thing. A lot of people had him dead 20 years ago, but he just passed away there recently. Because it says on it from 1934 to 2026. So the Lord gave him long life. Tremendous man of God. And I could tell you almost every single word that man preached. Now I'll tell you what, there's not many sermons I can say that about. But the sermons he preached, I can still remember them. And you bear in mind, I wasn't married or anything then, and I'm married 30 years. I can still remember them. He preached when God says no to your dreams. And at the time he preached that, me and my dad was praying. That was when we were going to start the meetings. And that was a word from the Lord. He preached another sermon called The Three Glories. The glory of the unsaved man. The glory of the saved man. And the glory of God. And you know the glory of the unsaved man is like the flower of the grass that cometh up and withereth away and it's no more. But I'll tell you, may the Lord bless and strengthen this whole family this morning. And I don't know if you've ever heard him. If you haven't, it'd be worth the listen to go on. There might be some of his sermons on YouTube, I'm not sure. I think I only have them couple that's recorded. You heard him, Brother Yule? Well, you've heard him. Can you? Oh, that's good, brother. Praise God. But the Lord bless this whole family circle at this time. Now, this morning, and I prepared for this here, but then this morning, I was going to go on someone else, and I said to the wife, get into the car early, because we need to go and get the chairs out, the carpet out this morning, because it was all moved. And then she was out in the car, and then I wasn't ready, because I was going down on our avenue in the wee room. When I had to, it was everywhere then, but I had to stick with this, but Thursday night, we finished with the resurrected man, and I was tempted, but I was feeling really strongly, and you don't need to turn that, brother, but I was going to go into Hebrews 9, verse 16, 17, and in verse 16, 17, you read about the death of the testator. What you read is that the testament is of no strength whatsoever while the testator liveth. And then you read about the death of the testator. Then if you were to go to 1 Kings 20, verse 1, you would read where the man was warned to set his house in order. In other words, to make his will. And that's what that means in Hebrews. Christ made the will. And he made that will come into effect and strength when he died. Then he rose again from the dead. And the Holy Spirit was poured out to make that will come to pass. And that is a strength because of the death of the testator. And you see, this man, Jesus Christ, had power to lay his life down and he had power to raise it up again. Now there's eight things, and I'm going to continue them this morning. Eight things, what Peter preached, and we've covered four of them, that Jesus is a sinless man, he's a perfect man, he's a crucified man, and on Thursday night he's a resurrected man. That's where we finished. And this morning I want to start on his exaltation, the exalted man. He is the exalted man. And not only is the Lord Jesus Christ exalted, but his name is exalted. Because his name is far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So powerful is his name that it is the only saving name. The only saving name. And may I say, it's the only healing name. And it's the name you can be baptized in, and we're going to go to meet him in the air, and we're going to see him. He's exalted. Acts 2:33 says, we've read it, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted. Exalted. And this is number five of the eight facts that Philip Peter preached. You could preach, I'm sure, more, but I'm just using these. He is exalted at the right hand of God, having received to the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. He hath shed forth that which ye now see and hear. No other man ever received the fullness as Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ never received the Spirit by measure, but he received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I mentioned it Thursday night. William Branham, we know, was gifted. We know he was a prophet. A prophet of God, a man sent from God, we believe that. But he could stand in the pulpit and say, I can do nothing till he comes. Then he would say, now that he is here, I take every spirit under my control. But the Lord Jesus Christ never said that. I can do nothing till he comes. The Lord Jesus Christ had the fullness of the Spirit on him continually. He couldn't sin and he knew no sin. And he at any moment, at any given time, could work a miracle, could cast the devil out, could speak into being those things that aren't as though they were. because he was the God-man. He was God in flesh in the person of Christ, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of glory. And he is exalted, exalted far above all, exalted to the right hand of majesty and high, exalted. He's exalted, his name is exalted. He's far above every demon, every principality, every power. You know the problem most of us have, and we're all guilty. We all too often talk about my bad back, or my sore this, or my sore that, or I've got the cold, or I've got the flu, or I've got this or that. Why don't you get rid of it and deny it? Amen. Why praise it? Why pat the devil on the back when you should kick him, as I say, in the touch? But people, I'm still tired, I'm still weary. I knew a minister, and every time I rang him, and the Lord bless him, he's gone on to be with the Lord, but every time was I'm tired and weary. But I tell you, the Lord says he gives us strength. Amen. The Lord gives us strength. I know every one of us can get tired and we can get weary. And many's a morning you wouldn't want to get out of bed. But you have to go on. Amen. And you have to keep on keeping on. And make yourself go again the flesh. What about that? What about letting the Spirit have the control and denying the flesh like the Bible says and go on anyhow? But the Lord Jesus didn't want to go to the cross, did he? Maybe the physical part, he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He was wearied and he got tired in the physical sense because he slept in the boat. And they wakened him, for they feared for their lives. And when they wakened him, he spoke to the winds and the waves, and they obeyed his voice because he is exalted, the exalted man. John 3:34 says, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke the words of life of God, and he never had the Spirit by measure, but he had it in fullness. Now I want to make it clear here, it was, the distinct office of the Messiah to receive this divine fullness and pour out the Spirit on all flesh, the promise of the Father. And Jesus Christ was the Messiah. He was the one that the Bible spoke of coming into the world. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born. You know all them scriptures. The mighty God, the counselor, that's what the word of God calls him. The word of God calls on the mighty God, the counselor, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's all them things. And he's exalted. Isaiah 43:3 says, for I will pour water upon him that's thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. And I believe we are the offspring of the Lord this morning, because we're born again. Joel 2:28, everyone knows it, and it shall come to pass afterward, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and the old men will dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Because he is exalted, the Holy Spirit's been poured out. Now here's another thought. The sixth thing is his ascension. He is Jesus Christ, the ascended man. He is ascended. Not only is he glorified and exalted, but he is the ascended man. Acts 2:34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith unto him, saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down my right hand. Amen. Jesus Christ is greater than David. Do you know that David was in a realm called Abraham's bosom? And David could not come out of that place. Now, it must have been a wonderful place, a spicy prepared place for them Old Testament saints. He couldn't come out of it till Christ rose. And when Christ rose, he emptied it. There's no such thing today as Abraham's bosom. They're not in it no longer. Because when Jesus Christ rose, them Old Testament saints rose. But they couldn't come out of there till he rose. And when he rose, he emptied it. Now we know Elijah, Enoch, and Moses must have been already in heaven because they appeared with the Lord. But you know, Enoch never died and Elijah never died. And a woman said to me one time, I might have suffered with animals in heaven. And this brethren woman, she near went down my throat sideways. Boy, she gave me some towel off. She says, catch yourself on. She says, there's no animals in heaven. And I says, there you are. I says, well, then you'll have to get ready your Bible. She says to me, why would that be, Tommy? Because I says, Moses went up with the chariots, with the fire, the horses. Elijah. Up with the chariots, the fire, and the horses. And I said, Revelation talks about one coming on a white horse. And Revelation's all but their symbols. But I believe there'll be animals in heaven. Not only do I believe that, the prophet of God at the end time said, all that you love will be there. And he went beyond the curtain of time, and a wee pony that he liked, and he seen it, and a wee dog that he liked, it was there as well. All that you love will be there. Isn't that something? Now, if God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and you think of me and you as men and women, if we love suffering enough, it'll be there. That's what he said. That's why you need to pray them in. Pray them in. Don't take no for an answer, and don't look at the circumstances. Pray them on in anyhow. No other man ever ascended from the bosom of the Father except the Lamb of God, the only begotten Son of God. All others were born a man of the flesh and of the earth. He is the Lord, the man from heaven, the man that's in heaven. So he came down from heaven and went back up to heaven. There's no other man you can talk about like that. No other man that you can say was in heaven and he come from heaven then he goes back to heaven. No other man can you say we're born the image of the earthly but we shall bear the image of the heavenly. And we bear the image of Adam the earthly but we shall bear the image of the second Adam, the Lord from heaven. And I tell you, he's ascended. Proverbs 34 says, who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who have gathered the wind in his fists? Who have bound the waters in a garment? Who have established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? What is his son's name, if thou canst tell? And we heard, wasn't it wonderful last Sunday, how our brother Paul brought out about God, the size of God. Did you catch that? When he mentioned the size of God, the heavens of heaven can't contain God. Don't have God some wee fella, or old grey-haired man sitting in the corner, and he can't do anything. That's not the God we know. That's not the God of the Bible. Our God's a mighty God. The endless ages it talks about. No beginning, no ending. Ever before he was known as God, and there become a time when he was known as God, when he made the angels to worship him. And before that, before he was even known as God, he was a self-existing one. And every attribute and every thought was in him then, that he would be a father, and all them wonderful things was in him, way before the beginning of time or anything, the self-existing one. Ephesians 4, 8 to 11 says, wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. So when he ascended up on high, the gifts came. Now a lot of people preach the opposite to that, don't they? How many denominations in this country, they don't believe that verse? Their doctrine denies this verse. Because they say after Jesus ascended and after Jesus went back to heaven, the dispensation changed and there was no more gifts. But that's not what this verse says. This verse says when he ascended on high, he gave out the gifts. It's not what it says in your Bible and mine. He ascended on high and he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Now I know there's some people today and they don't believe this either. They believe in an evangelist and a teacher and that's about it. Then we have a group round this end time message. And let's, if we're going to mention one, we might as well give them all a take. They believe there's only one man God ever used. And that he is all the fivefold ministry. Well, that's nonsense. That man never preached that and didn't believe it himself, what they're saying. And I want to tell you, God has to have a fivefold ministry in every age. Are you hearing me this morning? God has to have people in every single age that will go forth. What good would, if you had an assembly this morning and you needed a pastor for that assembly, what good would be a pastor that lived 100 years ago? Would you pull him in and say, you can't do it? How could he marry people? How could he do out the communion? Well, you can listen to them on tape, but that's still not it. You need a physical man. And God ordained that. That's why God ordained the fivefold ministry. And William Branham said, it's going on right now. The fivefold ministry's going on right now. And he wasn't talking about just himself. He's talking about the full ministry. And you know it's like the glove. Four fingers and a thumb. And that just fits perfectly into the glove. And I tell you, God has a fivefold ministry and it goes further for the perfection of the saints. So that's why there's schism in the body. That's why there's people cut on the limbs. They're not under a fivefold ministry. That's why. They don't believe in this, they don't believe in that. We need the full fivefold ministry. Now there's great groups today and they don't believe in a fivefold ministry either. They don't believe in a prophet. They don't believe in an apostle. And some of them don't believe in a pastor either. They only take two out of the five. Well, there's problems there then as well. Because that's not dividing the word of God correctly. There's a fivefold ministry. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and the teachers. Now everybody's a teacher today, aren't they? And God bless all the teachers. But over this last 20 years, everybody's a teacher. Well, I'll tell you what I told one boy. I says, we need to get some evangelists on the go here. Because we're teached out. Amen. It's good to teach, but what about the men? What about the missionaries that go out and preach the gospel in other places where they don't hear it? What about them missionaries? We need the missionaries. That's your apostles. Thank God for them, for the fivefold ministry. Here's number 7. He's enthroned. Jesus Christ is the enthroned man. He is enthroned. Acts 2, let's pick up 34, 35. For David has not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Jesus Christ is enthroned in heaven. Hallelujah. There's a boy, he's enthroned in the Vatican. And there's a lot of people praise him and exalt him, but he is the Antichrist. Now let me tell you, young people in this service this morning, and I'm going to say this on record. Don't waste your time reading books about some Jew being an Antichrist and some other boy, where is he? And will he be over here or there? The Antichrist is the Pope of Rome. End of. Don't be looking anywhere else. That's him. He is the Antichrist. He sits on the seven hills. He wears the fish God cap. He says that he is in the place of Jesus Christ. He has exalted himself. He has enthroned himself. He says that he has power within himself to put into priests. He says he is the real apostolic power. But I want to tell you, he's no apostolic power this morning. But the apostles had apostolic power in Acts 2. When they met the man at the gate, crippled, and they could say what Rome cannot say, silver and gold have we none. What would the new age, this new movement of these preachers, what do you call them boys, all the wanting? There's one boy recently, and you'll not believe it. He got into the pulpit, he hadn't even started a sermon, and he said, God has shown me 100 people have to sow a seed right away. I think it was 10,000 or 100,000 each year right away, and you've only got so many seconds to do it. Now, if they had them in proper deacons in that church, proper deacons, now hear me this morning, they're the policemen of the church. How many knows that? That's right, that's the Bible. They should have stepped up, took him by the two ears, put him out onto the street. They'd have been doing God's word, God's will, for that boy's faults. You'll never hear in one place for them disciples say, you have so many seconds to pay 10,000 or whatever thousand. You will hear them disciples say, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And they took that cripple by the hand, and immediately he rose to his feet, and he didn't walk into the temple. He skipped up into it. He danced up in. Isn't that great? At the hour of prayer, skipped up in. God healed him. God touched him. Now I know we need money. We believe that. But I'll tell you, the emphasis cannot be in that. God will provide our need. Amen? He's a faithful God, a faithful Father that loves his children and watches over them. Acts 2 says, until thy foes, thy footstool. Hebrews 1 verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat on the right hand of the majesty on high. He is enthroned. Enthroned in the place of power. There's no other man enthroned in this place this morning. Jesus Christ is enthroned in the place of power. All power is given unto me, both in heaven and earth. That's why his name is so powerful. He is enthroned in heaven. Hebrews 10:13. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. He's going to walk all over them. He's going to stand on them. You know that the Lord Jesus Christ from Genesis, it was prophesied that his heel would be bruised, but the enemy's head would be bruised. And you know, if you want to kill a snake, hit him on the head. On the head. I remember years ago, I don't know if you've ever heard of a man called, I think it's John Higgins. Preaches a lot about Israel and stuff. He's an old man. Now the day, he'd be on different things. I mightn't agree with all he says, but I remember one time hearing him. He used to do a bit of weightlifting, brother. He was quite a build. He's about Alan's builder at the time. He was well made. And he says he had still a few old weights lying about the house. And his wife got out of the car and a snake come at her. And he wondered what was he going to do. And he reached, I don't know if he said a barbell or a dumbbell, but he just come out over the snake's head with, and he killed it. He hit him with a cowl of steel. And he killed him. And I tell you, the enemy was struck a death blow at Calvary with a man, Christ Jesus, trampled him. And he's only a short time to go. He's been wounded, mortally wounded. He's going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But Christ has dealt with him. Christ has wounded him. Matthew 22. Let's go to Matthew 22, verse 41 to 46. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Amen. Now I know this is where the doctrine of the two lords come from. And if you haven't heard, there is a doctrine called the two lord doctrine, which is false. Because you know in the Old Testament that many of the wives called their husband, my Lord. Now I know the women's looking down at that one. That's true. How many knows that's true? My Lord. I'm not telling you to do it. I'm certainly not anybody's Lord. But that's the way it used to be. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit down my right hand, I make thine enemies thy footstool. This is all about Christ. There's nowhere in this for it gives place for a doctrine of two lords. For the Bible, that would break all scripture. Because the Bible says, hear, O Israel, there is one Lord. One Lord, not two lords. But you see how the devil come in with that? Now that's what you call not dividing rightly the scripture. Misdivide. But you see, if a big name does it, it's all right. Well, I'll tell you, I don't care how big the name is. Check it out with the word. Amen. Check it with the word of God. They say unto the son of David, he saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he a son? Amen? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Now you know he came in three sons' names. Son of man, son of God, and son of David. We know that. But he's the greater David. Because when he's called son of David, it's because he is enthroned in his father's throne in heaven. That's why. It's not that he's the physical son of David in the Bible, just like it says here. But he's greater. Because before David was, he was. Amen. He's before David. Psalms 110 verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand until thine enemies be made thy footstool. Isn't that a wonderful scripture? But how can people take from that scripture two lords? But they've done it. They've done a lot of things. But you know there's a promise to every one of us that overcome. In Revelation 3:21, there's a promise to every one of us that overcome. Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Even as I also overcame and am sat down in my Father in his throne. So the Lord has overcame and he sat down in the throne. The work's finished. Isn't it amazing this morning when we come prepared? Sometimes we come not fully understanding the work's already finished. Jesus Christ has finished the work. The price for our salvation was paid 2,000 years ago. The price for our healing was paid 2,000 years ago. It was finished then. It's done. And when we think of the devil, we must think as Jesus Christ, that he's our emancipator. He's our emancipator. He has released us. The Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to set free those that are bound, to break the chains and open the prison doors, to open the eyes of the blind, to stop the deaf ear. Jesus Christ came for that purpose. This is a most important verse now we're going to look at that speaks of finished ministry and the perfect sacrifice, setting forth Christ as a perfect and heavenly priest. And he is the priest enthroned. So we don't need to go into the box anywhere to confess till some man. Tell me this morning. Now I don't know who could be listening to this, but I want them to tell me what man can sit in a box and be holier than the man that's confessing to him. Want you to let me know. Because there's no man can put himself up on a pedestal above any other man except Christ Jesus. My Bible says all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I told a woman once, and I've said it before, I was working with a Margaret We were mixing chocolate, working in the bakery. And I began to tell her how I got saved as a wild lad. And she says, "That's great, Tommy, that you got saved." But she says, "I never needed to get saved because I never done them things you done." And I says, "Margaret, I know that you maybe never done the things I done, but all your righteousness is as filthy rags." And before you know it, the hot chocolate was over my head. She put it clean over me. She wasn't a sinner. She had never sinned. Now I'll tell you what, she maybe never stole a car or robbed anybody or done a day in jail. Maybe she never told a lie. Maybe she carried the halo all the time and it floated over the top of her. But I'll guarantee you, if she was questioned under the Ten Commandments, she's broke one of them. She'll have broke one of them somewhere along her life. And even if she broke none of them, she's still a sinner. Because she was born condemned. For the Bible says we're born in sin, shaping in iniquity. Come into the world speaking lies. Is that the Bible? That's my Bible. She didn't want it. And I'll tell you what, some years ago I bumped into her, but she could not get away fast enough. She didn't want to know about it. She's an old woman today. But that's sad that she didn't need salvation. She was too good. Sad, sad thing, isn't it? Zechariah 6, verse 12 and 13. "And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold the man whose name is the branch. And he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord. And he shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne. And the council of peace shall be between them both." This is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is that branch. Behold the branch. He's the stem of Jesse. The Bible talks about Messiah. Root out of dry ground. They have no form nor comeliness or beauty that we should desire him. But he's the lovely Lord Jesus. No other man, no angel dares to sit in the Father's throne, only the Son of God. The Son of God sits enthroned in the Father's throne. Here's my last thought this morning. And I know I haven't been long, I'm not finished yet. But, and I'm not going to say I'm finished in the next couple of minutes, but I'll not be long. He's a glorified man. Now we're waiting on glorification. How many knows that? We're waiting on a body change. We're waiting to get out of here. Now you know the Lord doesn't come in our lifetime. He might. We're looking for him to come. We're going to need him. We're going to need everything at our disposal while we're in this flesh. Because the Bible calls it a pest house. It's a house of decay, corruption. That's why we had to have another birth and be born again. But he is the glorified man. Jesus Christ is the glorified man. He's in heaven. He's enthroned. Acts 2, 34 to 36. "For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith unto himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit down my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool." Verse 36. "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ." Now there's fellas having a debate on one of them sites the other day. They baptize in Jesus' name only, and there's a few boys commenting. I was going to, but I didn't get involved. But they're both wrong. You don't baptize only in Jesus' name. And actually, when you read the book of Acts, they did not baptize only in Jesus' name. They used Jesus Christ or the Lord Jesus in all them baptisms. And we want to give him his full respect and full title. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we give him his full name. A lot of people said, "I do it the way Jesus did in Matthew 28. And then they're on. Now we know that Peter made no mistake in Acts 2:38. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ is fulfilling Matthew 28. But here he says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. He's the Lord. If somebody is your Lord, they're over you. Do you realize that? They're over you. And Jesus Christ has to be Lord of all. And he's Christ, he's the anointed one. The anointed one. This is the man in God's image, the last Adam, through whom the race of people would come. In the same image, we will be changed like him. We're going to be changed. You could go to Genesis 1:26 and you know man was made in the image of God. Genesis 1:26 tells us we were made in the image of God. Hebrews 1:3. Look at Hebrews 1:3 says, and I'm going to finish in a moment. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He's a glorified man. He's finished the work. Heaven had never received a man like this. The glorified Christ as man. You know, we're the benefactors of what he done. We are the benefactors of what he done. The name of his father, that's what he came in. Our brother John mentioned it the other week. He came in his father's name. That's whose name he came in. He didn't come in the name of a movement or a system. As my father sent me, so send I you. He came in his father's name. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the whole point I want to try and make him. Maybe I haven't done a good job. But Peter, through all his sermons, exalts him, glorifies him. And these eight truths he brings out continually all through the book of Acts, Paul does as well, about the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 2:36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. John 5:43, I am come in my Father's name, and ye received me not. Now if he has come in his Father's name, he has the same name. This is your revelation from Matthew 28. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, I am come in my Father's name. When I was born, the son of Billy McKinstry, and I was registered and got the birth certificate and they gave me a name, I automatically had the same last name as my dad because I was a McKinstry. I inherited the name. Amen. Inherited the name. And he has by an inheritance a more excellent name. That's what the Bible says. A more excellent name. He has the name. And he came in the Father's name. And we're to reverence that name. I'm closing, but you know, there's a wee woman that really inspired me called Mrs. Jones. And I used to go out to her house, or some of us young people used to go out. But probably, I don't want to say more spiritual because I don't want to, you understand what I'm saying. But I'd have chats with her. The rest of them would do whatever they're doing. But that woman was spiritual. And she said to me, Tommy, you know, in the prayer meeting, young ones today don't even know how to pray. She told me when you pray, you need to come in reverence and give him his full title. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that the truth? There's a young fellow works with us, and every breath he takes the Lord's name in vain. Every breath, he uses that second name. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to say it like he says it. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. But the world uses that name as a swear word. But that's one of the most beautiful names. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sin. Wigglesworth said he went to pray for a dying woman, and she was no hope given, and he just breathed and whispered that name, and she came well. It's power in that name, but you have to believe in it. Believe in it. He's exalted. He's ascended. He's exalted. He's at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and that name is far above any other name. No matter what you do, the Bible says, whatever you put your hand forth to do, do all in that name. The world curses it, but we need to respect it. We need to reverence it. We need to approach it on our lips as holy, that he is truly Lord. How many wants him to be Lord of your life? Lord of your life means he's your master. Your master, your teacher, your friend, your Lord and master. And he's the Lord Jesus. And he's coming again. He's coming again for a people that's ready. Let's stand our feet this morning. The Lord bless you. And pray for this evening. Brother Samuel will be preaching tonight at 6 on Thursday. We'll be here on Thursday. On Sunday. Then the following Thursday, the 16th. I better get the dates because I'll forget myself. The 16th, we'll be off for a few days. From the 15th, I'll be off. But we have no meeting on the 16th or the 23rd, them two Thursdays. All the Sunday services will be the same. I'll arrange with the brothers for who's available to preach. But we're going to be the same. There's some folks away, but those that can come, and the Lord bless you, will be here tonight. Next week, the Lord will, and the Lord is well, and praise God. Let's close our eyes as we pray this morning. Praise God. If you have a need, lift your hand before the Lord. And I know people have already been praying. We'll pray again. They say one of the things Maury and Giler stressed strongly to the students was prayer. Prayer. And it's so true. We need prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your mercy, for your grace, for your love, for your truth you've shown toward each one of us. Father, I pray you'll bless your word till our hearts. We reverence you in our lives. We lift your name. Your name's far above every other name. Lord, we pray that your precious blood will be upon all of our loved ones. We apply that token by faith on our children, on our brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, aunts and uncles, husbands, wives, all that's near and dear, each one in this room, we apply that token upon them in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, you know the hands raised, and we say amen to what's already been prayed, and we pray again, meet every single need, Lord Jesus. Lord, we do think of wee Laurie this morning. We ask you'll strengthen him, touch him and bless him. We thank you for his life, for his testimony, for his witness. Give him your strength and your grace at this time. Have your way in his life, we pray. Lord, for others who are still laid aside, sick or afflicted, maybe couldn't be here, we pray you'll touch them. Bless them. Bless all the nurses, all the doctors, all those in the place of authority. Give them wisdom and guidance. And for your own people, Israel, bless and strengthen, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, have your way for the remainder of this service. Bless Samuel tonight, grant him wisdom, guidance, and have your way in this house. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless you, Zen, as our brother Gary comes.
Amen. Let's sing that little chorus, He is exalted. He is exalted on high.
He is exalted. Jesus.